Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick. We are your hosts. I am Lisa Ann Goldsmith.
I am Owen Thompson.
Yes, you are Owen Thompson.
We are
And
very reasonable today, are we not?
we are very reasonable today. And I think that's actually good because the episode today is our review of Hamlet that we saw on January 31st at the Southwark Playhouse in London during our fabulous once-in-a-lifetime trip to the UK.
That's right. A little bit of a different experience than visiting the theaters we'd visited previously. You'll hear us talking about it. Actually, I quite enjoyed the playing space in the Southwark Theater, which
I did
isn't
too.
All that. It's on the south side of the river, not all that far really from where Shakespeare's Globe is. It's a theater I hadn't been to before, and it has. We'll be talking about this, but you know, being to Soho Place and the Wanamaker, these are very high end, you know, polished places, venues, and the Southwark Playhouse is a little more off the beaten path,
a little raw.
Off Broadway feeling,
yeah,
kind of.
you
But
know you know Owen, the London premiere of Windfall, that play that I did that was directed by Jason Alexander, is running there right now at the Southwark
at the
Playhouse.
Southern, wow, small fucking world.
Very exciting, very exciting.
So without further ado,
here we go.
Well, you guys, we are recording from the Mercure Hotel in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yes, we are.
We made it, and there's a train strike, you guys, so we couldn't take the train. But luckily, Lita, Owen's wife, is a fucking rock star and drove us
on
the other side of the road to Stratford.
Because the buses are on strike, too. So literally the only way to get here is by car right now. And I will say, having been here before, getting here by train is no picnic.
Yeah, that's right. You said you guys had a terrible time last time.
Even when there isn't a strike. But we're very excited to be here in Stratford.
We are excited. But what we're going to talk about right now is the production of Hamlet that we saw in London last night. It was the Lazarus Theatre Company at the Southwark Playhouse.
That's right. So in the same neighborhood, essentially, or very not quite the same neighborhood, but not far at all from where Shakespeare's Globe is, south of the river. The neighborhood where the Canterbury Tales takes place, in fact.
That's right. So this production of Hamlet was... Now, you remember that we said that Titus Andronicus was kind of like a good university production.
Well, or at least a university
production. Right. Well, this was the kind of university production that you would look at and say, now, these kids have some stuff going on.
Well, I mean, but here, so we should say, the Southwark Playhouse is not the Globe. It's a much more rough and tumble kind of place.
That's right.
I mean, it's a lovely space, very industrial. What was it? I'd say about 200 seats.
Very large black box type of thing, yeah.
But very open space, you know, kind of, not a polished place, and certainly not a place that's on the level professionally as the Globe.
No.
It's more, it has the feel of an off Broadway place
for
anybody
who's.
That's
right. Or non union, probably.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, it had the feel really to me of a gritty off Broadway.
Yeah, like
theater.
Somewhere down in the East Village
or
something.
For those of you who are familiar with New York theater, you'll know what I mean. It's again, it's not a place where professional theater doesn't happen, but all kinds of levels of theater can happen
right.
there.
That's right.
So the expectation is smaller, right? Because if you go to the, like we were talking about, seeing a university feeling production at the Globe, at the
which
San
is a
Juan
problem.
That felt problematic to me. And this production was actually filled with kids who pretty much are students.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that this production was originally done at St. Mary's University, directed by Ricky Dukes, who is the artistic director of Lazarus Theatre Company. They first did it there, and then they decided to move it to a semi-professional production.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it is a professional production, but it's filled with, I mean, for instance, Michael Hawke, who plays Hamlet, I will read you his bio because it won't take but a second. His entire bio says, Michael Hawke trained at St. Mary's University. This is Michael's Lazarus and professional debut.
And that's it.
And that holds true for a couple of other people in the cast. They are all very young. And that is really the point of this production, right? That it's the point is that all of the adults have been cut from the show.
So no Polonius, no Gertrude, No, Claudius. Yeah.
There is the ghost, but he's dead, so I guess he doesn't count.
I guess he doesn't count. That was very cool, though, the way they did the ghost.
I thought so, too. The ghost was one of the cooler elements in the play. It was very, you know, very not immersive exactly. Nobody came into the audience, and the audience wasn't moved around or anything like that, but it was very environmental.
It was very environmental.
A lot of voiceover was done by people speaking in full view of the audience over microphones.
Right, right.
And the ghost, they had a huge figure in a coat and a helmet with a lot of side light and smoke and voiceover effects.
And they also all used flashlights to illuminate each other at times.
Yeah. And that was fine.
Yeah.
Certainly the ghost I thought was really cool.
The ghost was cool. And they used some smoke. And it was very interesting that at one point they lit some incense of some kind, which I thought was a very interesting atmospheric thing to do. Now, that being said, I give all props to Michael Hawke as Hamlet, but it's Hamlet, right? And, you know, he was passionate and he gave his all, but I don't think he's quite ready for
it. You can tell by his bio that he's not probably going to be polished. Which I didn't read his bio before.
No,
the show.
We bought the programs after the performance.
For those who don't know, by the way, word to the wise, if you're coming to England to see plays, you have to purchase your programs here. They don't just hand you a program when you get your seat.
That's right.
So you can do it before or after the show in most places, but you do have to purchase them. Anyway, so this particular play, very stripped down, what were there, about 8 actors in it?
10.
Was it 10? They're all kids, and I mean kids.
Kids.
And the show opens. This is the... I think everything we've seen except As You Like It has featured plastic chairs.
Yeah, what is that about orange plastic or blue plastic chairs?
They were blue
chairs
last night.
Blue plastic
chairs. So
they
were all in these blue t-shirts sitting in a circle. In
sweatshirts,
blue,
right?
In blue plastic t-shirts and sweatshirts. But first they were blue and they were sitting in a circle like, you know, basically like an AA meeting.
A group therapy session.
A group therapy session. And they would, you know, they handed a microphone around and like said, my name is whoever the actor's name is. I'm playing Hamlet or Laertes or whatever. And they would have a quote from the show. And then there was something called The Voice.
I think The Voice was meant to represent the adult figure.
Oh, it is. It's in the director's notes.
Yeah. You know, whether it's Polonius or Claudius or Gertrude or the therapist that's leading these group sessions.
Right. So that was sort of the concept, as it were, is that this was like a community group therapy session of some kind, which, you know, is not my favorite kind of thing to see, but whatever. And then they began the play proper with the Hamlet doing "Oh that this tutu sullied flesh would melt," and I actually thought at the top, oh shit, this kid's got something, because I thought he did that speech pretty well. He certainly is passionate, but he didn't make the mistake that some of those kids in Titus Andronicus did. He didn't go to forceful anger all the time.
That's very true.
And he had a lot of colors in that first speech.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, but then...
Well, so I didn't love the first speech as much as Owen did.
Well, I didn't say I loved it.
Well, I didn't see as much promise, I should say, in the first speech as Owen did. But I did feel like, because he's a young actor, I thought he was passionate, I thought he was committed, but I thought that he was one note through most of it.
Well, I agree. I agree that he became one note. I just saw more colors in him in that first speech. And I thought, you know, because also, this is the thing, my expectations were not as high.
Absolutely.
When I go to the Globe, my expectations are pretty goddamn high. Going to see As You Like It, that is a... You know, that's a West End production filled with major people, directed by Josie fucking Rourke.
Yeah, you expect it to rock.
It better be good, and of course,
it did.
It did beyond my wildest dreams. But obviously, everybody's the same. Your expectations will meet where you're going.
Of course.
So, and again, that being said, I think Lisanne and I will agree, the undergraduateness of this production was far less annoying to me because of where it was than the undergraduate feel of Titus Andronicus, which, like, I'm like, what the fuck are a bunch of college kids who can't really do this play doing here?
Right. I mean, you watch these kids in Hamlet and you're like, this is a venue that makes sense for them. I encourage them to keep working on their craft, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
But
they're
it
at
all
the
made
start
sense.
of their careers.
That's right. But Titus Andronicus really made me angry.
Well, here's the thing. Like, yes, to your point, they're starting out, they're experimenting. The whole thing had a very experimental feel to it. And, you know, and we'll get to this, but did the experiment entirely work? No.
No.
But that's okay.
It is okay.
An experiment doesn't have to work. It just has to make people grow.
Right. And the thing about Titus Andronicus was that you could tell, for me, from the direction, I felt like the director was like, oh, we're so clever, you know, and it felt like some of the actors were like, I'm so clever, I'm so funny. But I didn't feel that at all at Hamlet. I felt that they all took it 200% seriously.
Well, I didn't feel like the people in Titus Andronicus weren't taking it seriously. I just felt, if anything, they were taking it maybe too seriously. Like, they were taking
very
themselves.
Precious.
Like, especially from the director's
yes.
point of view, taking herself very seriously. And again, there was a seriousness of purpose to this Hamlet. Obviously, it's a very serious play. But it didn't seem self-congratulatory. It didn't seem wanky in a way that Titus Andronicus felt to me. And also, to be fair to the production of Titus Andronicus, or a little fair, one thing that this production had going for it was that it was a production of Hamlet, which is a great play, as opposed to Titus Andronicus, which
Absolutely.
Is a garbage play.
So even when you're listening to people not speak those words as well as they might be,
they're still those
words. All right, so let's get into some of the other characters. So we've talked about Michael Hawke as Hamlet. Ophelia was a young woman named Lexine Lee, and I'm not really sure why she was cast as Ophelia. She couldn't do it,
you
frankly.
Know, this is honestly, this is my least favorite part of doing this sort of thing.
I know.
Because it makes me feel like a critic, and I hate critics. Sorry if anybody's a critic out there, but you're the enemy. you know, and so I feel a little bit like I'm in that. I don't have anything good to say about her. She's very, very young. She had really, at least at this point in her career, no business playing Ophelia. There was just kind of nothing going on. And
I mean, she's got a much longer bio than almost anybody
I know,
else.
I know. And also, she seemed so young. I mean, she's a little person, and she just seemed like she was about 11 years old to me.
I will say that her singing voice was lovely and very creepy and very Ophelia-like, but
yeah.
that was it.
Yeah.
And she spoke anything.
Another
it was
thing,
out the window.
For anybody that knows Scott Pilgrim versus the World, I kept thinking that she and Hamlet seemed like Knives and Scott in that movie. And although she's not as good an actor as the actress who played Knives in that movie. Anyway, the less said, the better about that.
Yes. As far as the other kids, I mean, I thought actually when the Laertes came out at the end, I was so much more taken by him. And I thought that in the little bit we got to see him do, there was way more variation and shifts and layers than the young man that played Hamlet. So I was kind of like, well, why didn't he play Hamlet?
I know Don felt the same way. Don was with us last night, by the way, and Lita was not. She had had enough.
She went to see Noises
yeah,
Off.
Yeah, she
so
went
that,
to see, she
that
went,
should give you an idea.
She got to see Noises Off, which was, you know, a better time. Well, anyway. But Don was with us, and I know y'all really like the Laertes. I thought the Laertes was fine. I don't know if I would want to see him as Hamlet. I did, you know. I mean, the show. Yeah, but also, guys, the show is so short. And also, thank God, because
yeah, it was like
an hour 40.
It was short.
So you know, they cut more of Hamlet than they left in.
They did. I do want to preface this all by saying that when we got to the Southwark Playhouse, we had bought tickets in December, and we went up to our seats. I'm sorry, I have to talk about this. We went up to our seats, and there were some what seemed to be young German theater students, like university.
I didn't realize they were German until, well, go on.
They were German, with a couple of adults with them, and they were sitting in our seats. And I went up to the young man and the young woman next to him that were in our seats, and I said, hi. I said, I'm so sorry. And I showed him our tickets. I said, these are our seats. And he said, well, those people over there are in our seats, so we're sitting here. And I was like, no, these are our seats.
Do you understand how tickets work?
Right. And he just kept going, well, you know, everybody's in everybody else's seats, so we're going to sit here. And I said, no, these are our seats. you have to deal with management if someone is in your seats. And the adult that was with them.
Yeah, apparently there was like...
Two adults, two women.
You know, minders with a big group of German students or something.
And she was just like waving a piece of paper around. And I tried one more time. And he... obviously, I was sort of flabbergasted at him just sort of blowing me off. So I said, no, these are our seats. I'll be right back. And I turned and, as Owen said, stalked off on my heel and went to find management.
And Don and I well know how Lisa Ann very efficiently deals with this sort of thing. So we just kind of tiptoed away and let this happen.
So I went and got somebody and she came back up with me and said to this young man, I'm sorry, these are their seats. And he said, well, there are people in our seats. And she said, well, these are theirs, so you have to get up out of these, you know.
And go wherever the hell, but not, I mean, I don't know where their tickets were. Well, the lady had a list.
The lady
right?
had a list, and she's like, we have a list with numbers on them. And so the woman from the Southwark Playhouse...
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
We have a list with numbers on them.
Thank you. I just needed to hear.
I know you needed
to
replay. I know. But so the woman from the Southwark took the piece of paper and looked at the list of seat numbers and said, yeah, these three seats are not on your list.
And
so,
also your list is not a ticket,
that's
by
right.
the way.
That's right.
And then, so they did move, right? They were forced to move, and we got our seats. And then that German lady sat down right in front of me, and she proceeded to lean forward and, like, block my view for the entire show. And when she sat down, all I could think was, and now this bitch with her hair.
Yeah.
And then I also thought, and by the way, thanks for Hitler.
So suffice it to say, we were a little miffed when
things
started.
We didn't start off in a good mood.
Actually, I would say that the production put me in a better mood than I would have expected.
I agree. And you know, I feel actually very charitably inclined towards this production.
I do, and I felt I liked those kids, and
We were talking about the Laertes, and I just want to say, even though I thought he was fine, I didn't, you know, he didn't rock my world.
Yes.
He just didn't have enough to do. But I will say one of the best things in the show featured him, which was the play with, they did keep the Murder of Gonzaga, the play within the play, the Mousetrap, and the way he played Lucianus, the murderer. And they had a very amusing and creepy effect where they had like a screen where the player king and the player queen were in front of. And then he crept over the back of it.
He was a tall young man.
Super tall. And he crept over the top of it with all you could see was his face and his hands, which had big bony skeleton fingers.
Yeah, they
had
like extended fingertip things.
Yeah, it was really very amusing and creepy.
Yeah, it was funny and very creepy at the same time. So I really liked him.
I did too.
I really liked him. So Sam Morris, we like you and would like to see you do some more stuff.
Yes.
I also do want to say that the fight, I thought the whatever fights were there were good. Another female, Alice Emery, who actually runs the fight team at Shakespeare's Globe.
Oh, son of a gun.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. I felt a little gypped fight-wise because what they did with the fight, you know, you get to the end of the show and you get Hamlet Laertes fight. And, like, oftentimes, even if the show is bad, the fight can be good.
And exciting.
If it's done well. But they went for this slow-mo thing.
I think that, well, here's what I thought. At some point, and I leaned over and asked Owen, when did all of those pieces of paper get on the floor? And it was during...
Whatever.
But suffice it to say that there was all of these sheets of white paper all over the floor. And I'm talking like, not 5 or 10, but like 50 or 100. And my thought when they were heading to the Hamlet Laertes fight was, how are they going to fight safely with all of that paper on the floor?
Well, the answer is they didn't fight, really. They just did a bunch of slow-mo shit. And I thought, is fucking Zack Snyder directing this production? Because... what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing is when Ophelia dies, they had an interesting thing where they had a video screen on stage.
They had three videos.
They had three video screens, but one all the time showed you exactly what was going on. It was like they were taking a video from the back of the theater. But then when Ophelia goes to ostensibly committed suicide or whatever. She leaves the stage, and the camera follows her down these hallways.
Someone with a big old, like, 90s style camcorder.
Oh, yeah, big time. It reminded me of the Blair Witch Project, actually. Yeah. But they followed her to the bathroom, and she had a gun, and she blew her brains out. But here's my problem with that. We're watching her going through these hallways and going into the bathroom and blowing her brains out. But when she blew her brains out, the camera died too and just kind of laid on the ground watching the pool of blood seep out.
Right.
And
so that didn't really make any sense. Also, no. I had two other objections to that. First of all, it was a little too biting Yvonne Von Hove for me.
Yeah, I can
see
that.
A little like, okay, you've seen Yvonne Von I get it. But also, she went into a bathroom stall, and we heard a bang, and then, like, blood seeped out. And I'm like, I want to see her blow her brains out. If that's what you're going to do... Now, granted, Ophelia doesn't blow her brains out. She drowns.
That's right.
But, you know, fine. If you want to amp that up with somebody shooting themselves in the face, I'm good with it. Just show it.
You went into a bathroom, and Ophelia drowns. Why doesn't she stick her head in the toilet bowl?
I'm kind of joking, because I realized... they could not do that, but it would have entertained me.
It would have been entertaining. But also, if you send her to a bathroom, let her drown herself in the toilet bowl or something. I don't know. But and my other problem with it was, I mean, forgive me, but this...
I enjoy the phrase, let her drown herself in the toilet bowl.
And, I mean, it was not helped by the fact that in that amazing scene before she dies, when she's given this, here's rue for you.
Yeah, well, the famous crazy Ophelia scene.
There was nothing. I'm sorry, but there wasn't.
If this person is going to be an actress, she isn't one yet.
Not even a university.
And also, you know, let's talk about the cutting a little bit. The cutting was so extreme.
So extreme.
That if you do the Ophelia mad scene and you don't have Claudius and Gertrude around, there's not a lot left.
Right.
You know, I mean, even if she had been brilliant, she's got to have something to play off of.
Right. The voice was like...
Voice wasn't even present. I mean, they cut it way, way down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I will be strictly honest, after that was our fourth night of Shakespeare in a row. We'd seen Titus Andronicus for 3 hours.
That the four in a row kind of went, each one was a little less than the one before.
Well, the only reason I disagree with that is because I actually like the Hamlet better than I like the Titus Andronicus.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree with you, but nevertheless, yes,
we love this shit, and obviously you know that, or this wouldn't be episode whatever.
You wouldn't be listening to us.
And we wouldn't be here. But it's, you know, I feel the pain of critics to this degree that they have to, like, see and review all of these shows every single night. It's hard. And especially that painful production of Titus Andronicus that was almost 3 hours long. We were tired.
Yes, yes.
And so the fact that it was an hour 40 was helpful in that regard. But what was not helpful is when you remove that much text, you begin, like, you know, here's a perfect, I just thought of this. I remember when we were doing our episode of film Hamlets. And again, it was exhausting. We watched like 7 or 8 or 9 Hamlets in a row or whatever it was. And I remember I watched the Ethan Hawke one, mm-hmm. which is cut way down because mm-hmm. it's like an under 2 hour movie. And right after that, I watched the Derek Jacobi BBC, which is long. It's like well over 3 hours. Now, even if it's over 3 hours, you're still cutting a lot. But
yes, but let's preface that by saying Ethan Hawke, Derek Jacobi.
Well, right. Of course. But what I'm saying is, there was so much left in. That was by far the longest version mm-hmm. that I watched.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually, not only actually felt shorter to me than the Ethan Hawke one.
Yeah.
But the play suddenly was there.
Yes, well,
because Derek Jacobi was so good, so great, really. And, you know, the whole production is excellent. But they left the play there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, there's Hamlet.
Yeah.
That's why it's one of the greatest plays ever written.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you strip it out.
Yeah.
I mean, deconstruction is okay if it works. But when you strip all of that text out, you're not really telling the story.
You're not really
showing me Hamlet.
That's right.
And you know, that's what happened last night. But it was an experiment, so it's okay.
It was an experiment, and it didn't make me angry. But we have to talk about Don had the best way of describing the
Yes.
actors in this. We were talking about it afterwards, and Don described the actors as, you know, because we were talking about how Titus Andronicus was basically like a university theater production,
And
and
so was
this
this.
was too, but Don described the actors as larval, which I think is a much better explanation, because you could see that some of them had something.
Yeah, and the same was true in Titus Andronicus. There's larval talent there. It's waiting to, turn into something else.
Yeah, but my other problem with Titus Andronicus, I mean, the Titus was great, but the woman that played Saturninus, as we've said, has a ton of credits and was absolutely self-indulgent.
Right. Well, but and again, I blame the director
Yes,
there,
yes.
and the director here in this Hamlet, I kind of don't blame.
No.
I mean, it's rough around the edges, to be sure, but it wasn't. I was never bored.
I would rather see Hamlet again than have to sit through Titus.
Well, sure, it's half as long.
Well, but that's not the reason
No, I know. Me
why.
too. For a number of reasons. Oh, I do want to say this. Textual things that bothered me.
Oh, yes. But
Now,
I do think some of that was the
I
actor's
think some of it
mistake.
was
Yeah.
mistakes, but some of it also. This I would have to ding the director for a little bit, because
If
if
it
it
was
less
choice.
corrected. But
Yeah.
for instance, Hamlet, who should say, "I, the son of a dear father, murdered," in "Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I," left out the word father.
See, now I know, but
I'm
I
the
think
son of a deer murdered, he said.
I know. I think my instinct is that that was taken out because they're cutting out all the adults. I don't agree with it, but that is my instinct.
But that doesn't make sense because the adults aren't there, but we know he is the son of a deer father. I think the actor just elided it and made a
Well, I think he certainly
mistake.
did in the other
Yeah,
place
but
that we talked
yeah,
about.
when he said in To Be or Not to Be, right? Thus conscience does make cowards of us all,
Yes.
and he just said, "Thus conscience doth make cowards of us."
Yes. And he also reversed that one line.
Well, he did, it's not a reversal; it's an addition.
Yeah.
So it's famously the misquote. It like many many people think that Hamlet looks at the skull in the graveyard and says, "Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well." And of course, he doesn't say that. He's with his friend, and he says, "Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio."
Right.
And in this, weirdly, I've never heard this one. This actor said, "Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well, Horatio."
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there was something else too that he flipped. I forget.
Well, the player king also said this, and this is something that drives me crazy when I hear it done. And if the director didn't correct this, then I'm annoyed.
Shame on him.
Full 30 times hath Phoebus cart, blah 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 blah
Right,
blah
right, right.
blah.
And he
And the guy
said
said
Phoebus's.
Phoebus's cart, which destroys the meter.
No, there was something else that Hamlet switched. A famous line that Hamlet, a two-parter that he switched.
Oh yeah, can't remember what it was.
I can't remember what it
Yeah, me
was.
neither.
No. If we think about it, we'll tell you on a later episode, but.
But at the end of the day, this production was not a success. But
But I give them props.
I give them I do give them props. And I think that there's a great deal of talent in there, larval as it may be, which is a word I'll be using forever now.
Thank you, Don.
And I wish them well. And I'd be interested to see something else that this
A
director took
absolutely, and
on.
certainly some of the actors.
Yes,
So,
absolutely.
and now we're in Stratford-upon-Avon. Avon, we don't have tickets for anything technically until Friday night when we are seeing The Tempest with the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, so our expectations will be a little bit higher.
Yeah, a little higher. Apparently, there's some hidden immersive Romeo and Juliet that we're trying desperately to find, but
But they're not making it easy
they're not making
because
it
it's in a hidden
easy.
location, so.
But we are going to do all of the fun Shakespeare things here in.
Yes,
Yes.
we've already done a couple of them. Not much. Tomorrow will be a big day for that.
That's right. So stay tuned, friends.
Yeah, you know, I really have to give it up to those kids. And I say kids because they were kids.
Yeah, they were very young, and I admire them. I really do.
I do too. There was a whole lot of passion and commitment on that stage. And, you know, I believe that some of those kids will grow into really, really fine performers.
And just as we've said, just a much more appropriate place for something as experimental as that than, say, the Wanamaker, in my
Which,
view.
yeah, and which was far more successful, frankly, than
Indeed.
certainly one of the plays at the Wanamaker. So check out our website at www.thebardcastyoudick.com. Become subscribers on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, and am I missing one? Twitter. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes, and if you want to support the pod, subscribing on our website is an excellent way to do it. We have a Patreon link there where you can become a subscriber and receive swag from us, which we would be happy to send you.
That's right, and fun content. And if you want to give us a one-time donation, which of course we would always appreciate, we are a 501c3, so it is fully tax deductible, and there is a PayPal link on our website.
As well as links to our house charities, Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and the Actors Fund.
That's right. And remember,
It's
it's
Shakespeare,
Shakespeare,
you
you
deek.
dick. That was actually better than it has been.
It was my best Keith Howard.
The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters Incorporated, copyright 2023, all rights reserved.